Donald Peterson presents The True Adventures of Junior G-Men.
The Junior G-Men are on the air, speeding to your homes, ready for action.
Stand by, all Junior G-Men, stand by. Stand by for thrilling details of the Jigsaw Puzzle. Stand by for report of Junior G-Man Eddie Green concerning
the Jigsaw Puzzle.
Report number 981, as given by Operator Eddie Green of Belrose.
Well, although I still go to school during the week, I have a little part-time job over at the Luxor Theater. I'm an usher. And while I only work on Saturdays, the money I earn almost pays for the rest of the week's expenses. Well, one Saturday night after I'd finished with my regular duties, Mr. Winters, the manager, asked me to go out to the ticket booth and tell Miss Larkin, the cashier, to bring the day's receipts to the office. It was a little after 10 o'clock, and the last showing of the feature had already been over.
So Mr. Winters wants the receipts, does he?
That's right, Miss Larkin.
Well, it's all right with me. The sooner this money is counted and checked, the sooner I can go home. And the sooner I can go home, the better I'll like it.
You're pretty tired, aren't you, Miss Larkin?
Tired is hardly the word for it. I'm all in. Positively exhausted.
I don't blame you. Sure was a big day.
Well, the biggest we've had in a long time, and it's not over yet.
What do you mean?
Simply that my day isn't over until Mr. Winters and I have finished counting and checking all this money.
Gosh, that'll take a long time, too.
You said it. At least another couple of hours or so. I'll be just about dead in my feet by that time.
I'll bet. Gee, if there's anything I can do to help, I will be on.
Well, I don't know, Eddie. Of course, you could wait around and help me carry the money into Mr. Winters' office. That is, if you're not in any hurry to get home.
Oh, no, I'm in no hurry. I'd be glad to help.
All right, then. Just wait till I get all the money together in this strong box.
Okay.
Just sweep all that change together in one pile.
All right.
That's it. Now, just as soon as I unlock this box, you can put it all in.
Well, after Miss Larkin and I had gotten all the money together, we locked up the ticket booth for the night and started for Mr. Winter's office at the other end of the lobby. When we got to the door, I opened.
Who's there?
It's Miss Larkin, Mr. Winters. And Eddie Green is with me.
All right. Come in.
Open the door, will you, Eddie?
Sure thing. There you are. Go ahead. Gee whiz.
Step inside and shut that door.
All right. All right, gosh.
That's the idea. Now, just stay over.
What does this mean, Mr. Winters? This man has a gun, and... is this some kind of a joke?
I wish it were, Miss Larkin, but unfortunately it isn't.
But I don't understand.
You will, sister. You will. Won't she, pal?
Yes, I suppose she will.
Maybe you'd better explain to her just to make sure.
But I...
Go ahead.
But I...
Go ahead. You've been dying to tell somebody what's going on here, and here's your chance. Go ahead. Tell her what a nasty man I am. Tell her what I'm going to do.
What does he mean, Mr. Winters?
Simply that he's going to rob the theater of the day's receipts.
But he can't do that.
It's no use, Miss Larkin. We haven't got a chance. He's got a gun and he's...
and a nervous trigger finger. Now, don't get me excited. Just do as you're told and everything will be okay. Now, you.
You mean me?
Yeah, you. Just step over to that desk and put that strong box you're carrying into that empty violin case.
Go ahead. Don't take any chances. Just follow his instructions.
Yes, Mr. Winters.
That's the stuff.
There.
Now, just close the case and lock it.
All right.
That's it. Now hand it over.
All right. Here you are.
Thanks, kid. You've been a big help. Hey, you.
What do you want?
When I give the word, you open the door, see?
You're pretty sure of yourself, aren't you? You
can't that... chatter before I get sore. I'm a pretty patient guy, but I got a limit to that patience. Now get this. You'll open that door when I give the word, and you'll keep your trap shut. That goes for all of you. Don't make a peep when that door is open, you understand? And don't show your faces outside this office until I had a chance to get out of the lobby into the street. If you do, well, it'll just be too tough. Okay, Toots, open the door. Come on, open it.
All right. There.
That's it. Well, good night, everybody.
And, thanks. Thanks a lot.
Well, he's gone.
Gee whiz, what are we going to do, Mr. Winters?
I'll call the police, of course. That's the only thing to do. Yes, that's what I'll do. I'll call the police and have them send me...
Well, Mr. Winters did call the police. And a few minutes after he'd hung up, a couple of detectives came around to the theater to investigate the holdup. We described the man who'd committed the robbery, and after we'd finished...
Now, Mr. Winters, is there anything you'd care to add to that description?
Why, no, there isn't.
How about you, Miss Larkin?
I'm afraid I can't add a single thing to the information you already have.
I see. And you, son? Is there anything about this man that seemed at all unusual?
No, there wasn't.
And according to this description of him, he must have been a very ordinary type of man. In other words, this description might fit any one of 1,000 men right here in Belrose.
Well, I suppose that's true.
Yeah, I suppose it is. But tell me, Winters, how did he manage to get into your office?
Oh, he arranged that very nicely. He pretended he had a complaint to make and had one of the ushers, a boy by the name of Walter Crane, bring him to my office. The boy left, and this crook pulled a gun on me, told me what he was going to do, and then calmly waited for Miss Larkin to bring him.
And he knew that Miss Larkin was going to bring the money here to your office.
Yes, he seemed to.
That's very interesting. Very interesting indeed. Begins to look as though the whole thing were engineered by someone rather well acquainted with your regular routine.
Why, you don't mean that...
I'm afraid I don't mean anything just yet, Mr. Winters. Simply a theory. Could have been an inside job.
I hardly think
that
anyone...
Now, please, Mr. Winters, let me do the thinking.
Why, yes, of course.
Roper.
Yes, sir?
Go on outside and get all the employees of the theater together. Tell them I want to talk to them.
Yes, sir. I'll tend to it right away.
And while you're waiting for me, you might frisk them. It's just possible that you might find something that'll give us a lead. After you've done that, you can come back here and... Well, go ahead. Go ahead, get going.
Yes, sir.
Now, Mr. Winters... I'd like a list of all the people employed here in the theater. I want to know how long each one of them has been with you, and I want to know...
Well, Mr. Winters prepared a list for Detective Forster. And while they were going over it together, I happened to see something that struck me as being mighty suspicious. I didn't want to mention it while anyone else was around, so I decided to scribble a little note on a small piece of paper and slip it to the detective while nobody was looking. Well, it worked all right. And a few minutes after we'd read the note, Detective Forster sent Mr. Winters and Miss Larkin out of the office. He made some excuse about wanting to question me. Told them to wait outside. After the left, he turned to me.
Well, young fellow, according to that note of yours, you wanted to tell me something. Now, what's it all about?
Well, you see, sir, I really don't know myself. It's just that it seemed kind of suspicious, the way she did it, I mean.
She?
Miss Larkin.
What'd you do?
Well, she pretended to read that magazine over there on the table, but she wasn't really reading. I could tell that.
Oh, what was she doing?
Well, she was tearing a small piece of paper into some little bits and dropping them in that yellow vase over there.
I see. Where did this little piece of paper come from originally?
From her pocketbook.
Are you sure?
Positive. It was the click of the pocketbook catch that attracted my attention to her.
I see. And you think that she, that this little piece of paper might have something to do with this case. Is that it?
Yes, sir. I kind of have an idea she was afraid you were going to have her searched like the others, and... Well, there you are. Now, if you could manage to fit those torn bits of paper together like a... Well, a jigsaw puzzle, it might mean something.
Yeah. Yes, you're right about that, Eddie. It might mean something. At any rate, we'll see. Is this the vase you meant?
Yes, sir.
I see. Well, thank heavens there isn't any water in it. We'll just, Yeah, sure enough. Here are the torn bits. Well, wait a second. This isn't paper. At any rate, it isn't ordinary paper.
What is it, then?
Unless I'm very much mistaken, Miss Larkin tore up a snapshot. A picture of something or someone she didn't want to see. Wouldn't be at all surprised if she... No, but... Come on over here, Eddie. Over here. You and I are going to solve a jigsaw puzzle. Maybe a robbery. I have an idea this picture is going to be... Well, it's going to supply a whole lot of answers to a whole lot of questions.
And after Detective Forster and I had fitted all the pieces together, he sent for Mr. Winters and Miss Larkin. As soon as they came back into the office...
Now, if you'll just try to be a little patient with me, there are a few more questions I'd like to ask you. Mr. Winters.
Yes?
Do you suppose you'd recognize this thief if you were ever to see him again?
Of course.
And you, Miss Larkin, would you recognize him?
Why, I think so.
Oh, you think so? You think so? Well, that's something. Don't suppose you ever saw him before. Or did you, Miss Larkin?
Of course not. Don't you suppose I would have mentioned it if I had?
I wonder.
What do you mean by that?
What do you think I mean?
I don't know.
Oh, yes, you do.
I tell you, I...
You just said that you never saw this man before, didn't you?
Yes. Yes, and that's the truth.
Oh, no, it isn't. It's a lie, and you know it. You did see this crook before, and you're going to see him again. Perhaps tonight, perhaps tomorrow, perhaps next week. Oh, yes, Miss Larkin. You're going to see him again because you've got to get your cut of money he stole tonight.
Are you accusing me?
Yes, I'm accusing you of engineering this whole job.
Oh, good heavens, man, you can't be serious about this.
Oh, I'm serious about it, all right. I was never more serious about anything in my life. Look here, Winters. You said you'd be able to recognize the thief if you ever saw him again, didn't you?
Why, yes, yes, I did.
All right. Well, step over here to this table and take a look at this picture.
All right.
Eddie and I had quite a time putting it together, but it was worth the trouble. Well, how about it, Winters? Do you, Well, what do you think?
Let me see. Good heavens, that's the man. The man in the theater. Well, how did you get this picture? Where did
Miss Larkin was kind enough to tear it up and leave the pieces in that little yellow vase. And Eddie was alert enough to see her. How about it, Miss Larkin? What's the answer?
All right, I'll talk. His name is Freddie Benson, and you'll find him at the Palace Hotel. Mm-hmm. He's an old boyfriend of mine. We worked the whole thing out together and figured it'd be a swell chance to pick up some easy money. Well, it didn't work, did it? I don't know as I'm particularly surprised either.
And later the same night, Detectives Braun Forst and Forster went to Freddie's room in the Palace Hotel and calmly arrested him for the robbery. Both he and Miss Larkin pleaded guilty and were sent to state's prison. I guess they realize now that easy money always comes the hardest. Well, good night, fellas. I'll be seeing you.
All Junior G-Men, stand by. Stand by for thrilling details concerning the next broadcast. Calling all Junior G-Men. Calling all Junior G-Men to proceed at once to points of duty. Calling Junior G-Man Bert Taylor to report to Director Donald Peterson at the next meeting on this station to give detailed report concerning...
The giant footprints.